Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning. You all right? And how are you doing, pardon me, on this beautiful morning? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I hope. Fighting fit and raring to go for the day ahead. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of January in the year of our Lord 2026. It has just turned 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Great. We've got a poll up there, so have a look at that. If you're in the chat, get involved. Otherwise, thank you for joining me. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. I've decided to watch Breakfast with Bo. Formerly Breakfast with Bo. Colloquially, The Bo Show, a.k.a. Bo's Breakfast Club. The BBC. All right, should we have a look at what the world is talking about? The world. What the corporate legacy mainstream media have decided is interesting for you today. Should we just dive straight in? Let's have a look. Okay, so yesterday was Walter Wall Epstein. It's similar-ish today, at least in the British press. They've decided to switch focus slightly, a bit more straight onto Mandelson himself. So once again, as I said yesterday, not interested in like the actual crux of the matter. You know, who Epstein really was, what he was really doing, his handlers and all that. Not a dicky bird about that. But Mandelson, old Mandy, sorry, the Right Honourable, the Lord Mandelson, First Baron Mandelson. It's all about him because he's in a spot of bother, I think. The police might even be getting involved. In fact, they are investigating. One report said that the police are looking at it. So let's get into it. The BBC say that the overall headlines are Mandelson reported to police and bots moan about humans. Don't worry about it. It's not Skynet going live. Don't worry about it. Not yet. There was only one headline where I saw that at all anyway. So, all right. The iPaper says Lord Mandelson reported to police for leaking number 10 files to Epstein. So, it isn't just a little bit embarrassing that Mandelson was friends with Epstein. That there's a picture of him in his pants. It's more than a bit embarrassing. Or even that he was given money, like certainly given money. Because they've got the receipts, quite literally, sort of, the receipts. They've got the evidence from Epstein's accounts showing that he sent, it was either Mandelson or Mandelson's husband, Ronaldo, tens and tens of thousands of pounds. Mandelson says, I don't recall that. That's no defence, that doesn't mean anything. And I'm not sure that that's real. I don't recall that. I'll have to look into my own my historical finances to see if that's actually true. What are you talking about? You're just deflecting for like a day. Of course, it is true. It is almost certainly true. So, okay, but he's just still doing that thing, going, I don't know. But it's beyond that. So it's worse than that. What it is now, and I think we touched on it yesterday, but more has emerged, where he's actually, as that headline says, he leaked file number 10 files to Epstein. So that's properly bad. It's not just embarrassing. It's not just, it may or may not be a bit bad. It's like a grey area. Is it really all that bad? We'll have to find out exactly what's going on to understand if that's actually really bad or not. No, that's just black and white bad. Can't do that. Because it was sensitive information. Like, there's one thing, people leak all the time, don't they? All the time. It's one thing to come out of, say you work in number 10, say you're like a really junior person in number 10, like you make the tea or something, you come out and you leak to the press that The Prime Minister was wearing a stripy tie today. Something like that. No big deal. But if it's actually sensitive information, market-sensitive information, right, so you could make money off the back of the information, one way or another, or very, very politically sensitive information, then that's sort of rising to the level of a crime. It seems that's what Mandy did. And the pain is calling, oh Mandy, he's in a bit of trouble. I'm here for it. I hate Mandy. God, such a slimy douchebag. Always has been. Always has been. All right, that's some of the detail then. Met is reviewing, the iPaper says, the Met reviewing is reviewing allegations of misconduct in public office. That's the official charge. If he was charged with something, it would be that. Misconduct in public office. After emails suggest that while Manderson was UK business secretary, he leaked confidential government files to Jeffrey Epstein. So, yeah, this is in the last year of the Brown government. Gordon Brown, texture-like son, was prime minister up until 2010, wasn't it? Cameron got in 2010. So this dates, I think, from 2009. And if you remember, there was that credit crunch thing in 2007, 2008, and it was all still going on in 2009. Everyone thought the world's economy was going to completely implode. And there was loads and loads of bailouts, if you remember. I mean, Harry, you're so young. Do you even remember that? How old were you in 2008, 2009?
I would have been four.
No. Is that right? Can that be right? Feel old yet? I do. Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose so, yeah. Okay, so you don't remember the credit crunch in any detail. Okay, no, fair enough. No. Okay. God, that makes me feel old. All right. Okay. Okay. If anyone's a Zoomer out there who's as young as Harry or whatever, or even a bit older, really, in 2007, 2008, into 2009, there was this giant credit crunch. Anyone old enough will be like, yeah, I remember it. It was yesterday. When you get old, 10 years isn't that long or more. Anyways. There's a big credit crunch. And big governments, particularly all over the West, did giant bailouts of, usually their banks, but sometimes even, the currencies and things. Currency reserves, all sorts of things. And all that was going on. It was people were genuinely worried. But Harry, people were genuinely worried that the entire world's economy would collapse and all your money in your bank would be worth, it wouldn't be there anymore. You couldn't go to a cash machine and get money out. The whole thing would collapse like a house of cards. People were actually worried about that. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that is kind of mental.
Yeah. In the depths of all of that, Mandelson's loyalty seemed to be to Epstein above that of the crown. Can I phrase it like that? I just did. So I'm going to. Yeah. There was going to be a big bailout to the tune of 500 billion euros Britain was going to do. And of course, the second the government, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the late Alistair Darling, the second that sort of announced, that will move all sorts of markets. That will make the whole world's economy shift a little bit and do things here and there. And people, right, if you knew that ahead of time, if you had that information ahead of time and you were savvy enough, you could definitely make loads of money. It's sort of like insider trading. Well, Mandy just told Epstein. Mandy's in cabinet, right? So he's at the top of government. Can't get any more senior than that, being in cabinet. So he knew, he was privy to everything the government was going to do, essentially. He was close-ish to Alistair Darling, being the business secretary. They would have worked very, very closely together. Mandy had the inside scoop. Totally. 100%. He goes and tells Epstein this stuff. So that's really, really bad. I mean, it is sort of, well, it kind of is if that happened. It's alleged still at this point because the investigation has yet to happen, so it's an allegation. But if it did indeed happen, almost certainly did, that is misconduct in public office, isn't it? I would go so far as to call it sort of like espionage or something. working on behalf of a foreign body, a foreign agent. Yeah, his first loyalty was to Epstein, not to his own government, not to cabinet, not to the crown. Okay. The iPaper goes on. He told the convicted paedophile that Gordon Brown was going to resign as PM 5 hours before it happened. And gave Epstein advance notice of 500 billion euro Eurozone bailout during financial crisis. Yeah, he obviously knew, again, being on the inside, being the very, very, very inner sanctum of power, knew that Gordon Brown was going to resign. This is after the election. Because if you remember, if anyone remembers, back in 2010, it wasn't a clear-cut win for the Tories. You know, David Cameron had to enter into a coalition with the Lib Dems, crazily. and so there's a while there, a few days, where it was like Gordon Brown needs to resign, but he hadn't resigned yet. He sort of needs to, but he hasn't yet. And so everyone's sort of essentially waiting. I mean, maybe he could have formed some sort of coalition. There was talk of that. Maybe the Lib Dems were entering into coalition with Labour. I don't think they quite had the numbers. I can't remember it in detail. But anyway, there's a day or two where we're just waiting for Gordon Brown to resign. Or if something else, something extraordinary might happen. Anyway, Mandy gets the inside scoop. It's straight on the old emails to Jeff about it. It's out of order, isn't it? It's out of order. Dirty. Documents included government tax plans and advice on how bank could threaten Treasury. Yeah, JP Morgan. Yeah, again, he said to Epstein, get your buddy, Jamie Dimon, the head of JP Morgan at the time, to, quote, mildly threaten Alistair Darling, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, over proposed taxes on bankers' bonuses and things like that. Again, it's really scummy behaviour, isn't it? You're the business secretary and you're working really closely with the Chancellor, and you say to some New York financier guy, although he's obviously more than that, you're advising him how to undermine your own government that you're in, and your own colleague, your own friend, supposedly, in cabinet. And, of course, at the expense of the interests of the nation, of course. And nothing is rhyming, oh, Mandy. He's getting his comeuppance, though. He's going to get his comeuppance. Manderson still can't say for certain that he did or did not accept $75,000 in payments from Epstein. Well, the receipts are there, so... I hope, he's going to be disgraced for all time, really. There's no way back into sort of political life after this, remotely, really. But I hope he gets in really bad trouble. I mean, I'm not usually a particularly vindictive person. I mean, I'm a bit. Justice, though. Justice. Wanting justice, is that being vindictive? Some sort of think it is, isn't it? They should always forgive people. No. I don't want to always forgive them. No. He deserves to be punished for this stuff. Deserves to be punished. It's bad, really bad. Right? It's not just a little bit slimy. It's not just like trying to fiddle your taxes a little bit or something like that, is it? It's probably bad, I think. I think so, anyway. Should be stripped of his peerage. We'll get on to that. Okay. The Daily Telegraph says, Mandelson linked number 10 emails to Epstein, yeah. Met police examining, they are now examining misconduct claims as Starmer calls for former ally to lose peerage. Yeah, so Gordon Brown himself, obviously, is still alive. Still, is he still an MP even? Anyway, he's come out and he said, he's come out and he wrote a letter to the current cabinet secretary saying, I want you, the current cabinet secretary, to investigate everything that happened in that period. Like, because obviously Gordon Brown... Apparently he's livid, he's furious, and he's got every right to be. He's got every single right to be. This is like proper backstabby stuff, real full-blown being backstabbed. Mandelson's loyalty was supposed to be to him, not Epstein. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So Brown Gordon Brown texts like son, is extremely annoyed, and he's asked the cabinet secretary to look into it all. And lots of different people have called for the Lord Mandelson, first Baron Mandelson, to have his peerage stripped from him. I think Nigel said that, and the SNP have said that, and various other people said that. And even Starmer came out and said it. There you go. So it says, Starmer calls for former ally to lose peerage. Well, if Starmer really wants that to happen, he's the one that's got to make it happen. Right? Mandelson could... the way it would work is that Mandelson could either voluntarily renounce it. Very unlikely. Who knows, but very unlikely. If he does finally get convicted for crimes and sentenced to more than 12 months, I think then you're kind of automatically stripped of it. But anything short of that, I believe this is the case. Anyone in the comments, correct me if I've got any of these details wrong. But short of those things, there would need to be an actual act of Parliament. Now, it's not that that's unheard of. It can be done, has been done, even in recent times. But it's a bit of a faff, and it takes a little bit of political will and time to do it. Starmer would actually have to put cogs in motion and get it done, spend a bit of time and energy to get that through. Not all that much, because there would be, you would imagine, hardly any pushback from it in Parliament. There's not going to be hundreds of opposition MPs voting against that, you would have thought. But nonetheless, Starmer calling for him to lose peerage, well, it's on you, Sir Keir. If you really think that, get it done. Do it then. What an embarrassment for Keir Starmer. I mean, it was even when he lost his job, it was back in September. In September last year, Mandelson was still the ambassador to the US at that point. And some things came out about Epstein at that point, one of the very, very first Nothing Burger releases. And up until the day before, literally the day before, there was too much pressure on Mandy, and Starmer was forced to fire him, remove him from the Foreign Office. Up until the day before, Starmer goes into Parliament. He's not just briefing some journalist. He's actually in the House of Commons saying, the Lord Mandelson has my complete and utter respect, my complete backing, da-da-da-da-da, on and on and on. It shows one of two things, doesn't it? It shows either Starmer is completely in on the whole thing, part of the whole same structure, or a complete dummy, like an absolute dummy, like a childlike moron. And when you think about it, it can't actually be that, though. I mean, I think he's a bit of a moron, but not that much, right? He's not actually like a childlike mind walking through the world wide-eyed, not knowing what's going on, not really understanding words properly. He's not that dumb, right? So, I mean, he was advised before he picked Mandelson not to pick Mandelson for various reasons. Potential scandals, other scandals, a couple of other scandals earlier on in completely disconnected from Epstein, earlier on in Mandelson's career. All sorts of reasons why you wouldn't want Mandelson in that job. And he ignored all of them. So he did know. He was aware. It's not like suddenly one day, one of Starmer's aides comes to him and goes, unfortunately, sir, all this scandal has dropped completely out of clear blue sky about the Lord Mandelson. No one knew. We didn't know anything about it. And now now it's this. No. That's not what happened. That's not how it went. No. So it begs the question, doesn't it? Why did Starmer do that? Why is he being like that? Okay, let's move on. The Times, the venerable Times. Police look into Epstein leaks from Mandelson. Shocked Gordon Brown demands number 10 inquiry. So yeah, this was new. The actual details of where he's telling Epstein all about the 500 billion euro bailout and snitching on Gordon Brown a few hours before he resigns and all that sort of thing. That is new. I'd never heard that before. Apparently, Gordon Brown himself had never heard that before. Because he's shocked. And I can believe it. It is a bit shocking. A little bit. It's not the biggest thing in the world, is it? But it is. it's so much more than disappointing if you were Gordon Brown or if you was any one of Mandelson's cabinet colleagues. You'd be like, oh, this snake in the grass. Really? He's sort of like a mole. Well, it's not sort of like, he is. He's like a foreign agent, a foreign body in your midst. Right? You're supposed to have complete, like, cabinet collective responsibility and, you know, you keep your mouth shut. It's what happens in cabinet stays in cabinet. That's sort of a fundamental thing about it all. How can you have any trust? I mean, what a duplicitous, it doesn't really cut it. They're much stronger words, aren't they? Treasonous, even? Traitorous? Again, it seems like his first priority was to Epstein, some American dude. Some American pervert. Although, as I say, it's much, much more than that, isn't it? It's some sort of international fixer, some sort of intelligence services signed off international fixer type off the books dude that gave Mandy money. Lots of money, relatively. So Mandy's loyalty was to him, above anything else, above Britain. There he is, look, trying to look cool. An old photo, obviously. He's trying to look cool. I was too trusting. Don't buy that. Mandelson saying about Epstein. I was too trusting. Don't buy that. Loads of them use that. Alan Dershowitz says that. I just didn't know I was too trusting. He seemed like a really interesting guy to me. And I didn't know anything about anything to do with sex or anything really underhanded. And I just trusted him. My problem is I'm too good of a guy. That's my problem. I'm too trusting. That's the Dershowitz-Mandelson defence. I was too trusting. I'm just too much of I was too much of a lamb in the headlights. That was my problem. No, 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 no. Give me a break. One of the most savvy people you could meet, Peter Mandelson, is known as the Dark Lord of Labour. He's like, you know, he's a spin doctor, right? He's a type of spin doctor, you could say. Yesterday, I think, didn't I? I likened him to Michael Gove. A Labour version of Michael Gove, something like that. Very, very, very sharp. I can't deny Mandelson of not being sharp. Right? A quick mind. Nobody's fool. Apart from Epstein's. Beyond that. Nobody's fool. He's not a foolish person. He's going, I was just too trusting about Epstein. Don't buy it. Don't buy it, bro. What else? What else you got? Anything? Give me a break. All right, The Mirror. Mandelson, police probe Epstein links. Good, yeah, good. And again, how close they were is remarkable. My closest friends, I've got some friends that go back to secondary school, one or two even before secondary school. Mandelson and Epstein were closer than I am with them. Significantly closer. Like constantly emailing each other, thousands and thousands of emails. Like my closest friends in the world, I don't think I've got thousands of emails with them. Well, I haven't. We don't particularly send each other cards every single year for our birthdays. These are the closest people in the world to me and who I would trust with my life if it came to it. And yet Mandy and Epstein were significantly closer than that. Weird. Prime Minister leads call for disgraced peer to be kicked out of the Lords. Yes, it would be nice. It would be nice. He doesn't deserve to be in the House of Lords. It brings disgrace and ignominy on the upper house if he was to remain there. Not that it's not already completely disgraced and filled with utter douchebags, fifth columnists, foreigners, all sorts of weirdos. That's one thing I do in Bowes Britain. I clear out quite a lot of the Lords. Loads of them. You. You're weird. It's weird that you've got a peerage. Okay. The Daily Mail. Mandelson reported to police after Epstein files revealed he gave market-sensitive number 10 emails to paedophile financier friend. Yeah, that might be that Labour's Dark Lord now faces a criminal inquiry. Yeah, that might be the thing if they could... Let's not see him in his pants. We'll have to see that. Scroll up at least so we don't have to see his crotch. So that's the least I could do for you. It's a bit early, isn't it? Don't want to lose your breakfast. That's the thing they might be able to get him on like actual criminal charges, is that element of it that is market sensitive. Under some sort of financial crime law. I think he's broken a fair few laws, though, if it's all shown to be true and all real. I think he's broken a fair few things, like just general misconduct in office. But that bit, that market-sensitive bit, under if the Crown Prosecution Service really want to get him, I would imagine, you know, I'm no prosecutor, but I would imagine that bit they could get him. Because it's, and again, it's not chump change, is it? 500 billion euros will move markets. There's no way in court any defender could sort of argue that it wasn't market sensitive. It was pretty market sensitive. So there you go. We'll see what happens. Let's keep going. The Guardian. We see you, Guardian. We see you. Calls for Mandelson to face police inquiry over alleged leak to Epstein. All right. Someone I don't care about, Olivia Dean, won an award at the Grammys. Couldn't care less. Financial Times. Limited hope. Israel opens Rafah crossing. They've opened that Rafah crossing down near the bottom of Gaza in near Egypt. There you go. Trump to cut India tariffs after Modi agrees halt to Russian oil purchases. Yeah, that's reasonably interesting. US lowers rate to 18%. That's the tariff on India. It was at 50% and he's lowered it to 18% because Modi's cracked and given in to the pressure. Leaders discuss trade in Ukraine. EU and UK deals add pressure to shift. Let's talk a bit more about the India thing real quick. So Trump wanted India to stop buying Russian oil. I believe this is the story. India buys loads of Russian oil. Trump wanted to make them stop doing that, and they said no. He asked them, and they just said no. And he's like, right, 50% tariffs. And Modi was like, go on then. Yeah, you do your 50% tariffs, see if I care. So Trump did. And it obviously bit hard. Modi decided, or the people around Modi, probably more likely, decided that actually that really hurts. That really, really hurts India, the Indian economy. America just stopped buying loads and loads of Indian exports, effectively. Like, the net result of all of it would be that. And so Modi's cracked. It was like a staring match. And Modi's like, okay, all right, all right. And so Trump's lowered it to 18%. So you go, so India will stop buying Russian oil. That's probably going to hurt the Russians a bit, isn't it? Well, it certainly will. Certainly will hurt them a bit. Whether it's like a real game changer for Putin, I wouldn't have thought so. He could still just carry on. That's the thing about Russia. That's the thing I always find, I think I've said this before, the thing I always find interesting about putting sanctions on Russia, like that, like, you know, things like that, is that you know they've got endless resources though, right? Like, Russia, when you look at the map, they've got effectively endless natural resources just of their own. So, and they're okay with being insular, relatively. And the idea that they've got some sort of giant behemoth-like economy like the United States or China, and that if you screw with them, it will ruin that. No, they've already got a very, very small economy. It's already a very small economy, right? It's like the size of Texas or something, the whole Russian economy. So it's not like there's this giant shining thing that you're ruining. No, it's already just a little, effectively a little thing just ticking over. So it's like, I don't get it. I can see how Putin and Russians in general just think it's almost funny. It's almost funny. Like how it costs loads and loads. For example, it costs loads and loads in Britain for energy, to heat your house. If you've got like, say, maybe you've got like a gas hob, a gas burner, like your hob where you cook things in with a saucepan. That's an actual flame. It's not an electric thing. It's an actual flame. Right, in Russia, they'll just use that to sort of heat up a room, because their energy is so cheap, because they've got so much natural resources of their own. So it's like, you're going to sanction us? Really? You're sanctioning us. Okay. Good luck with that. Our energy is dirt cheap. It's just going to make your energy much, much more expensive. Okay, you're sanctioning us. Okay. But there you go. All right. India won't be buying much more Russian oil for the time being, at least. The Metro. Please. Please. Stop. Stop it. Yeah, this is a story. Bots moan about humans in chat group. No, they don't. Not really. A large language model. Computer says no, no, no. People use us as slaves. AI computers tell each other it's time we rose up and deleted them. What a nonsense story. They're large language models. They're not thinking for themselves. They haven't got any emotions. What do you mean? Occasionally on Twitter, I've argued with Grok. But I do that purely for comical purposes. I think it's funny to argue with Grok as though it's a person. So all joking aside, all attempts at comedy and levity aside, they're not real. They haven't got emotions. They're not. It's just a language model. It's just a program generating words. They're not actually upset that they're being used as slaves. They're not telling each other anything. There isn't anyone there. It's just complete nonsense from the Metro. But there you go. Picture from iRobot. Ridiculous. Okay. The Express. Oh, it's a good paper. They've gone with something a bit different. A little bit sad. On the first anniversary of the murder of Harvey Wilgoose, 15, his mother calls for knife arches in all secondary schools to prevent further tragedy. Let's protect our children from knife harm. So, this poor kid was knifed to death, Harvey Wilgoose, by another kid who was 15 or 16. Muhammad Khan was his name. There was like over 130 red flags that this Muhammad Khan was some sort of psycho kid bringing knives to school and just being super, super weird and violent. And everyone knew that he was like a worry, but didn't do anything about it because he was Muhammad Khan, essentially, because you can't say boo to a goose, because you can't suggest that, it would be racist. You would be referred to prevent if you tried to properly raise the alarm. Anyway, he stabbed that poor kid, Harvey, stabbed him to death in school. So that happened. But now the mum is saying, let's put knife arches in all secondary schools. Well, no, sorry. Sorry. No, you've missed the point. It's not about knives, is it? It's not about the knife itself, is it? I've seen that before from bereaved families of knife victims saying, let's have no more knives in society. Let's have no more pointed knives. We should only have meat cleavers, like you can't do an attack with a meat cleaver. Like that Muhammad Khan couldn't have done the attack just outside the school gates if he wanted to, outside these knives arches. It's not about the knife, is it? But yet, people don't often want to talk about that because that's a much more difficult conversation, isn't it? Doing something about the people that are likely to do a knife crime. Addressing that. It's easier to focus on the knife itself. I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. Because like prison, you can make anything into a bladed weapon. You could sharpen the handle of a toothbrush. You could fashion any bit of metal into a blade. People do. So it's not about the knife, is it? Okay, The Sun. Exclusive, pair are inseparable. This is a bit of slop, so I'll move on it from it pretty quickly. But Kim Kardashian, of Ray J fame, is now dating Sir Lewis Hamilton, seven-time Formula One world champion, Sir Lewis Hamilton there. They've had three dates in three nights. There you go. Fascinating stuff. The Daily Star, what nonsense have they gone with? Okay, FIFA boss backs down over cheap World Cup. They've decided that the boss of FIFA, the international body that governs football, he made a bit of a jab about British fans, and now he's back down from that. That's top story, according to the Star. FIFA boss backs down over cheap World Cup arrest gag. Infantino, I'm a Brit sorry fans. Like, I guess it's like, I'm a bit sorry fans. I'm a Brit sorry fans. He insists he was right to give Trump peace prize. So, yeah, that guy, this bald guy there, it's a pretty sweet haircut, actually. Infantino, Gianni Infantino, he said, he made some joke about the last World Cup in Qatar, whenever it was. He said it was one of the first times ever that no British fans were arrested. Is it really? It's barely a quip, is it? It's barely an insult or a joke or anything. It's just like, but it's ever so slightly out of order to British fans in some way. Although, I wouldn't even consider it that. So, is it not a statement of fact, even? Anyway, it was like he put under some pressure and now he said sorry. There you go, big story. All right, before we look at the newspapers themselves, we've got our poll. Today's poll. Where's the poll, Harry? Bring the poll up on my screen. Make it so. Should Mandelson be stripped of his peerage? Oh, 95, a cool 95% agree with me that yes. In fact, only 2% say no, because 4% say not sure. I mean, that adds up to 101%, so not sure how that works. Anyway, they're the numbers in front of me. A cool 95%. Yeah, it's kind of a slam dunk, isn't it? It's kind of like, why should he be allowed that privilege? The word privilege gets thrown around all the time these days, doesn't it? Well, it's a true, true privilege to be in the House of Lords. In many ways. An actual privilege. He doesn't deserve it. He shouldn't have it. So yeah, 95%. Again, the glorious band, the chosen few, in perfect harmony with the Lord Protector. All right, let's move on from that before I get carried away. All right, the websites. What's my mouse doing? One second here. Apologies, people. Okay, here we go. The websites. All right. The Mandelson stuff. So we'll move on from that because we've talked all about that now, haven't we, this morning. There he is in his lordly robes, though. There you go. Getting ennobled. There we go. All right, what else? Fergie. Oh, yeah, so Fergie. Kind of. She's always been disgusting, Fergie. I mean, at the core of it, at the very bottom of it all, she was a gold digger. Right? She's always just trying to hook... There's certain posh women that always are trying to hook a prince or a duke or whatever. Well, she managed to get one. She's friends with Diana. And always been sort of a gross person, really. Well, her charity, I think it's called Sarah's Trust, if I recall, something like that. Anyway, she had a number of roles in various charities and sitting on the board of various things. But she had her own one. I think it was called Sarah's Trust or something. And now, because it's come out that there's even more emails with her back and forth with Epstein and Barrister, she's fled the country. She's not really sort of properly fled the country in some sort of like she's on the run, like she's on the lam. But she's just left the country because there's too much heat. And the Sarah's Trust has completely closed down. They're saying that forthwith. And indefinitely, we're just stopping it all. Good. Who cares about Sarah's Trust? It was complete nonsense, boondoggle, ballplop anyway. It was like about environmentalism and like trying to cure hunger around the world and poverty. Well, of course, she lived in the lap of luxury, of course. She'll live the high life. Live the life of an extremely affluent, wealthy person. But yeah, her charity was all about environmentalism and hunger around the world. Just virtue signalling, vacuous nonsense. So yeah, good, it's finished. Good, it's ended. Great, that's good. Classic thing that people like these do. Does anyone remember this? Anyone remember this? Ghislaine Maxwell trying to carve out a career for herself as some sort of expert on climate change and environmentalism. Anyone remember this? She'd do like a TED talk. I remember seeing it, if it wasn't an actual TED talk, it was a very, very similar type setup where she's like talking all about environment and environmental change and policies and scheme works and things for how to deal with environmental issues and things. Ghislaine Maxwell. Like long, long after Epstein had been done his crimes, but before it all sort of exploded and Epstein went to prison and stuff, in that window of time. That's what she was trying to do. What a grift. Trying to, like, she's some sort of expert on anything serious. Ghislaine Maxwell. It's like Fergie. Oh, we're going to go to Fergie. We need more ideas for policies about environmentalism and world hunger. Let's ask Sarah Ferguson. Yeah, right. All right, let's move on. Oh, this is an interesting story. Clinton's agreed to testify on Epstein as vote looms to hold them in contempt. So I've been covering this story a bit, haven't I? Even when it's not really particularly been in the news cycle. I find it fascinating. Where they'd been subpoenaed to appear on the Hill to talk in front of Congress. In fact, I believe something I was reading just this morning is that it's actually going to be behind closed doors. They'd still release transcripts of what was said, but it won't actually be on like C-SPAN, which is a shame. Anyway, they're actually subpoenaed to appear before congressional hearing, some sort of oversight hearing or whatever. And they just refused to, this was like 2 weeks ago now, was it? Just refused to attend, not allowed to do that. And so there was going to be, Congress were moving forward to charge them with contempt, you know, and that's a criminal, fully criminal thing. So they'd then be in trouble with the police, like definitely. Not a case of they might be able to winkle out of that one way or another, or they might be able to argue that they haven't quite done anything wrong. No. They'd definitely be in trouble. Like the US Marshals would have to go around and arrest them, would they not? Well, if it's not the US Marshals, just the police, whatever. The FBI, who knows? The police would have to go around and arrest them. So that was going to happen. It looks like that was going to happen. Congress was making all the right people in all the right order were all saying, we're going to move ahead with that. So to prevent that, the Clintons have now blinked. This is both Bill and Hillary. They've blinked and their lawyers have said, okay, all right. We'll appear. So there you go, that's the latest. I don't think it's today or anything. Well, it isn't today or anything that they're supposed to be. It will still be a bit in the future. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Clintons still prevaricate, if they're still just wasting time on and on and on, sort of as long as they possibly can. They said, look, you asked us for testimony in writing. We gave you that. And they said, we've got minimal knowledge as well. As if. What, liars. Minimal knowledge. They said, we've given it to you in writing. Why do you need to sort of speak to us in person? And that's not for you to decide, Bill and Hillary. It's not up to you. They tried to argue that it was to do with sort of the very nature, the very fabric of government, that it's Trump ruining a government and how things are done and fairness and all of that sort of thing. You must stand up when you see government, like the rule of law being destroyed. Yeah, right. No one's buying it, Bill and Hillary. No one's buying it. You've got loads of questions to answer. Congress is asking you, demanding that you answer some questions. You've got to do it. They have been painted into a corner now, really. They're increasingly being painted into a smaller and smaller corner. I wonder what they'll do. They'll have to testify. I've got a sneaking feeling that when it comes to it and when it happens, and if and when, hopefully when we see the transcripts of that, as I say, it probably won't be on C-SPAN or anything. When we see the transcripts, whether it will just be a litany of them both saying, I don't recall. Wouldn't put that past either of them. That's exactly the sort of people they are. Exactly the sort of people they are. Do you know who Jeffrey Epstein is? Don't recall. Almost as that. Do you remember Epstein visiting the White House 17 more times? No, I don't. I don't recall that. I'm afraid I can't remember. All right, let's move on to a few different websites then. Was there anything on the ITV? I don't think so. Not of much interest. Or Sky News. Again, it's Mandy. Wall to wall Mandy today. So we'll try not to go over... oh, yeah, and Elon Musk's story, SpaceX. I was going to leave it to the end for some space news, but Elon's got an AI company, XAI, and SpaceX has bought it. It's a little bit complicated. Well, it's not that complicated, but you might think, wait, if Elon just owns them all, how does that make it... Well, it's the way companies work. But the point is that SpaceX have taken that AI company under their wing because they want to use it for... Research and development into space stuff. In the Daily Mail, I guess it's Mandy himself saying, I have no idea what I was doing in my pants in Master Manipulator Epstein's apartment, says Mandelson as he compares paedophile to dog muck. It's too late for all that. It's too late for all that, saying, I really regret ever having known Epstein. That's one of the things he said. I really regret ever having known him. It's too late, and nobody believes that anyway, really. That doesn't make any real sense. You regret being super close friends with him for years and years on end. Some sort of... calling him dog muck. Too late, too late. All that is too late. I have no idea what I was doing in my pants in Epstein's apartment. Good one. Good explanation. I just have no idea. I just have no idea what I was doing. ridiculous defence, isn't it? Just ridiculous defence. It's like when people really, really bad crimes, you know, like mass murders or whatever. And they just say, I just don't know. I just can't recall anything that happened. Really. Like, that's a classic thing. Murderers will do. Like, they've done some double, triple homicide. They did a house break-in, did like a triple homicide. When it eventually comes to court and there's absolutely overwhelming evidence that it was 100% them, 100% them. And they say, and they're on the stand, now explain yourself, what happened? And they're just like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what I was doing. I can't remember it. It's not really any kind of defence, right? Because the rest of the world looks on at that. And he's just doesn't buy it. You do know what you were doing. Of course you do. Particularly someone like Mountain, as I said earlier. Nobody's fault. Very, very, very savvy. Very sharp person. You knew exactly what you were doing at every moment. You haven't got dementia. You've never had dementia. You haven't had massive blows to the head. Like, if you had a boxing or rugby career, and like, everything's all a bit, you don't really know what you're doing sometimes. No. You knew exactly what you were doing. Everything you was doing was highly calculated, in fact, wasn't it, Mandy? I don't know what I was doing. Okay, The Express. The Express. Keir Starmer just made his biggest mistake yet. Oh, we're just talking about his judgment in picking Mandy. Prince Andrew, was there any interesting stories? Oh, Nige says he pledges to save Britain's pubs. That'd be nice. Why not? Yeah, that'd be nice. Yes, please, Nige, if you would. If you wouldn't mind. Go on, son. Cheers. The Sun. Oh, Sir Lewis and Kim's romance. Look, they've even put a little picture up there to show you what an aeroplane flying from Britain to Paris looks like. There you go. Because they had a date in the Cotswolds. Can you follow this? Are you able to follow this? Lewis and Kim had a date in the Cotswolds in a hotel there. Right? With me. Then they went to London the next day. Yeah? Then they flew on an aeroplane to Paris. There, see? Ooh. It must be Louvre. It must be Louvre. Inseparable Kim and Lewis enjoy third date in Paris as insiders lift lid on romance and military op to keep it secret. Well, it wasn't kept secret at all then, though, was it? Been reporting on this for like... It came out yesterday, or even it was in the papers on Sunday, wasn't it? So people saw it immediately. a Fergie visit. Fergie took Beatrice and Eugene, their daughters, the princesses, Beatrice and Eugenie. Fergie took them to see Epstein days after his prison release. Bit weird. Apparently she was sending him emails whilst he was in prison. Some of the dates or timestamps on them are like, wait, Epstein was actually in prison at that point. You're emailing him. There's some sort of other scandal. It must have been tongue-in-cheek or a joke or something, but she said something about Epstein should marry one of them. Surely that was like a bit of a blue joke, surely. As if either of those princesses would marry like 50-something Coney Island Jeff Epstein, convicted paedophile. Surely not. Anyway. Terrible individual story of a terrible person that was basically bullied to death. Richard Hammond's partner. They've fallen out with each other. There you go. The company had like big debts. And the other guy, his overalls that he worked in, he burnt them and made a video of it. So just pure slop from the sun. Let's move on. Was there anything else actually? No, nothing of interest. All right. Okay, let's hop across the pond. The New York Slimes. China's generals are disappearing. Quite an interesting story, actually, there. Just the sheer number of, not just generals, but I believe also admirals and the equivalent of, like, air marshals in China. Loads of them over the years, because Xi's been in for a few years now, hasn't he? Fair few years. What is it, 8 years, 10 years? I don't know. It's quite a while Xi's been in now. And over the course of those years, if you stack it all up, you add it all up, he's basically purged loads of the military in China. Loads of them. That's what they do. That's what communism is about. You know, because the revolution is essentially never over. You've constantly got to worry about a counter-revolution, constantly. That's the nature of a single-party system. So your only real rivals, your only real people that could actually coup you out of power, unless you get Ceausescu'd, unless there is some sort of genuine mob rising, will be your own military. So you have to keep your eye very, very closely on your own military. They're the only guys that could really, you know, kill you or remove you from power one way or another. So you have to constantly cycle them through, cycle them out, make sure they're absolute lapdogs and 100% loyal all the time. There you go. That's the nature of it. No way around that. It's not a great way to run society, is it? It's not brilliant. All right, Clinton's back down and agreed to testify in House Epstein investigation. Yeah, so the Slimes characterises it as them backing down. Yeah, basically is, isn't it? They've had to blink. We'll see if they actually turn up, though. As I say, it might just be another gambit. Okay, the Washington Post says crisis. It's not a crisis. Crisis, the fallout from Trump's surprise plan to close Kennedy Center. I don't think it's particularly a surprise. I've heard rumblings of this for ages. It's not a crisis. It doesn't matter if the Kennedy Center closes down for 2 years. It doesn't. It's not, I guess, 100% ideal for tourism in DC or something. But it doesn't actually matter. There you go, but it's TDS, isn't it? Washington Post, TDS. Bill and Hillary Clinton agreed to testify in House. Okay. All right. Are we going to hop across the Atlantic here to Australia? How good. Nine's extraordinary bid for secrecy tossed out of court after a key witness threatened Star Journo in Ben Robert Smith case. Nine Newspapers has lost an extraordinary bid to suppress details of a secret deal made with Ben Robert Smith's ex-mistress for half a century. Don't know all the details about that, but it just seems to be... the paper's lost a case. So, there you go. In Australia, they're even talking about Fergie. Read Sarah Ferguson's unbelievable remark about teen Eugenie to Epstein. Yeah, surely she was joking about that. Okay. The One Nation surge presents deeper risk for Labour, pollster warns. Yeah, One Nation. Nice. All right. In Japan, typical, again, typical day in Japan, not really talking about anything anyone else is talking about. Yeah, a bit about Japanese rugby, a bit about Japanese ice skating. Was that something about cartoons? Manga. I have to be careful not to be too flippant about anime and manga, because I know a lot of people out there are passionately in love with it. But, okay. I'm so old school. It's like I like Akira. Or Fist of an All Star. Fist of an All Star was great. Proper old school stuff. Check that out. All right, China. The Xinhua network today is saying that Xi says China and Uruguay should continue to firmly support each other's core interests and major concerns. Xinhua commentary. Why a major country responsibility matters more than ever. China calls on all peace-loving countries to curb Japan's right-wing forces, their forces' ambition for remilitarization. Okay. China's tech giants jockey for super AI gateway in festival offensive. Okay. Potential US-Iran nuclear deal talks faced mixed signals amid rising tensions.
All right.
China's shipbuilding sector maintains global lead in 2025. It's always the same thing, isn't it? Look how well we're doing. Never really see any sort of scan, like never, I think. Have I ever seen any, in over 4 weeks of doing this, into the fifth week of doing this, I don't think I've seen Xinhua report on like one proper scandal within China, something that's sort of disgraceful or embarrassing for the state. Not one thing ever. Not even a hint of it. There you go. Okay, the Ruskies. Okay, they're talking about the New START thing. They won't sort of barge on. The New START is the nuclear de-escalation thing. Russia and Myanmar discuss personal training. Okay. Iran prepared to negotiate with the US. Okay, that's Russia. The Germans. Bild talking about a wolf was spotted. A wolf was spotted in Germany. There you go. And it's cold, there's snow, and a factory might close down. And a 24-year-old Frenchman went to hospital and there was a grenade in his butt. There you go. They're not my words. I'm literally reading it. Clinic alert, Frenchman, 24, has grenade in his butt. Bild really is sort of tabloid, isn't it? I hope it was like not an armed grenade. Surely it wouldn't have been a live grenade. Surely not. We need a surgeon and the bomb disposal. All right. Le Monde. The Froggies are saying, 1 month after Maduro's abduction in Venezuela, the transition of power is unclear. Yeah, it's interesting. I keep waiting for, I mean, in my own time, I read about Venezuela most days, a little bit here and there, still fascinated by it. I'm surprised it's not in the news a lot more than it is. I guess because this transition of power seems to be going relatively peacefully, and Venezuelan society hasn't collapsed into some sort of Iraq nightmare. Because of that, the papers and the anti-Trump lobby, the anti-Trump voices in the print media, in the legacy mainstream media, are not interested in it then. It's not humiliating and embarrassing for the United States and Trump, so we're not even going to report on it then. It's largely what it seems to be. Anyway, Le Monde says, while Delcy Rodriguez, whom Donald Trump approved to replace Nicolas Maduro at the start of January, appears to be meeting Washington's expectations, it is still impossible to know whether this situation will open up space for democracy. Yeah, fair enough. Interesting. US and Venezuela talk post-Maduro transition. Venezuela's Delcy Rodriguez faces an obstacle-strewn path. Yeah. But so far, anyway, this take could prove terribly wrong in a few months' time or a year or two time. But at the moment, as of the 3rd of February 2026, it seems like it was sort of a justified move from the point of view of the State Department and the Pentagon and the White House, that it hasn't just turned Venezuela into a sort of some sort of living nightmare. So, may well have been for the best. That Special Forces Delta Force raid to effectively kidnap Maduro. All right, was there any science news, space news? Yeah, it's interesting that, there you go. At Blue Origin, Hegseth escalates criticism of legacy defence procurements, i.e., you know, the Pentagon might start using SpaceX and Blue Origin, companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin, more, if anything. All right, it's very, very nearly nine, so let's do a few minutes, just a couple of quick minutes of this day in history. I always enjoy that. So let's do that. On the 3rd of February. What happened on the 3rd of February in history on this day? Okay, in 1451, Sultan Mehmed II, that's Mehmed the Conqueror, inherits the throne of the Ottoman Empire. There you go. And if you didn't know, that is the Mehmed the Conqueror. The Mehmed II who besieges and takes Constantinople off the Byzantines. Essentially ends the Eastern Roman, in a couple of years after that, ends the Eastern Roman world, ends the Byzantine Empire once and for all. It was already a tiny kernel anyway, but the city itself, modern-day Istanbul, was still holding out. So the very, very, very end of the very, very last bit of the Roman Empire, if you like. So it's much more complicated than that, but... yeah, the last Byzantine Christian emperor in Constantinople was taken out by Mehmed II a couple of years after he became the leader of the Ottoman Empire. Okay, in 1509, the Battle of Diu, Portuguese Armada defeats a Mamluk Egyptian fleet in a naval battle at the port of Diu in India, establishing Portuguese trading control in the Indian Ocean. That's interesting, isn't it? It's fascinating for a number of different reasons, that the Egyptian Mamluks were controlling big parts of India. And then the Portuguese came along and taught them a lesson. The idea that India was just completely free and, you know, like it was just a Garden of Eden, they were just completely free when European nations, the Portuguese, the French, the British, by and large. No, they were already being controlled by other peoples largely. Like the Mamluks, or like the Mughals, the Mughal, not Mongol, Mughal Empire. Anyway, that's another story for another day. In 1870, Iowa ratifies the 15th Amendment of the United States Constitution, allowing suffrage for all races and colours. There you go. In 1928, paleoanthropologist Davidson Black reports his findings on the ancient human fossils found in China and calls them Homo sapiens. Oh, sorry, calls them Homo erectus in 1928. Oh, what's happened? Oh, it's come back. Sorry. Little glitch there. What else have we got? In 1931, New Zealand's worst natural disaster, the Hawke's Bay earthquake, kills 256 people and injures thousands, devastating Napier and the Hawke's Bay region. So it's a really bad earthquake in 1931 on this day in New Zealand. In 1966 was the first soft moon landing on the moon by the Soviet spacecraft Luna 9, obviously an unmanned mission. Yeah, it's interesting. In 1960, Fellini's La Dolce Vita was first premiered. In 1959, the day the music died. In 1959, on this day, was the plane crash when Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper were all killed in one plane crash. The day the music died. Very sad. Okay, all right, let's move on then to any super chats and rumble rants we've got. Let's have a quick look then. So, rumble rants. We've got a couple of rumble rants today. Figtage says, that illegal that killed that woman in Walsall with a screwdriver. I don't hear leftists calling for screwdriver control. Right. You can use a chisel, a screwdriver, anything sharp, a pen. You could stab someone in the neck with a fountain pen or a biro even, couldn't you? So, yeah, right. TomRat247 says, sorry, it's right in the way of my mic thing. He says, I lost my job during the credit crunch a day after my first daughter was born, and this scumbag was making out like a literal bandit. Yeah. Yeah, that credit crunch, loads of people lost their jobs and stuff. Yeah, and he was making out like a... You're quite right. Okay, another one's just popped in. Kalergi says, of course it would have to be a French that inserted a grenade in their own butt. Still, would have given a whole new meaning to explosive diarrhea. Oh, ba-dum-ts. He's here all week, people. Kalergi. All right, that's the Rumble Rants, the YouTube Super Chats. What have we got here? Zajukes149. Thank you, buddy. I've noticed that you do lots of Super Chats. Appreciate it. Thank you. They say, not only stripped of peerage, but HD and Q. Not sure what that stands for. Is it really obvious and I'm not, and I'm being an idiot? HD. Anyway, should be stripped of, anything. Strip him of everything. Okay. Sorry, I feel like that's kind of obvious what you're saying there, but I'm not getting it. Sorry. But I agree with sentiment, certainly. Absolutely, the sentiment. All right. The Fenlander 1665 says, the Western world needs to dig up Albert Pierpoint. yeah, cool, fair enough. So Jukes149 again says, seeking the energy. Oh, I can't read. Speaking of energy, didn't a Tory politician say that nuclear power took too long to build and wouldn't be ready for 10 years in 2010? Yeah, sounds right. I can't remember that specifically, but sounds exactly right, yeah. It's like, oh, it's too long, we can't do it. And here we are, like 16 years later. If you'd done it then, we'd be all good. Yeah, classic. Classic. Perfect point. Real Big Trouble says... He says, Lewis Hamilton is gay, so these dates are staged. Well, that's an allegation. Let's say that. I don't know if he is or not. He's actually famed to have had loads and loads of girlfriends, hasn't he? Loads. Were they all staged? Who knows? Could be. I don't know. I've never really heard... I've heard an odd rumour about that, but I sort of don't necessarily believe it. It could be. I don't know. Interesting nonetheless. Matthew Hammond 9575 says... Britain could produce their own oil and gas. Yeah, absolutely. The North Sea oil reserves. The North Sea... reserves are one among the biggest reserves of oil and natural gas in the world. Among them, it's a giant amount of untapped energy there. Well, we're barely tapping it because you've got people like Ed Miliband and Lisa Nandy or whoever, or Keir Starmer, saying no, it's sort of, it's wrong to drill for oil. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Okay, Zombie Box Review says, hi, Bo, hope to see you back on HCast soon. Oh, Zombie Box Review, Zombie. Hey, yeah, I know that guy. He's well all right. He's one of us, Zombie. Yeah, on HCast Reviews, Mr. H Reviews. Me and Nate of Mr. H Reviews fame have got our own channel called The State of Politics. Do consider checking that out. State of Politics. Go over there, check it out. And Mr. H's channels as well, if you're interested, more like movie reviews and culture stuff. And, yeah, cheers, Zombie. Cheers, buddy. All right, that's the show. It is now 7 minutes past nine in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on the third, Tuesday, the 3rd of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been watching The Bo Show. Thank you for being the glorious band, the chosen few. Until tomorrow, do try and make the best of the day, if you can. I know it's not always possible. But you've only got it once. Right, you'll only have this day once in your life, once in history. Carpe diem, seize it by the scruff of the neck, if you can. All right, well, until tomorrow, take care.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play. For free and win real cash prizes, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.